On this Saturday, August 7th, 2021. This is the St. Pete Sports Connection. That's a tough way to start the day out. St. Pete Sports Connection on RadioSt.Pete.com. Sunshine 96.7 FM. And we're streaming live on StPeteSportsConnection.com. We are live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill in the heart of Tampa Bay, home of the world champion Stanley Cup, two-time Tampa Bay Lightning, and, of course, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as they get ready to defend their Lombardi Trophy, and they're in camp right now. And as I mentioned, opportunity to go there probably next week again to train the camp. And I've done that with Green Bay, Chicago, Minnesota, but it was kind of cool. Not cool, but looking forward to a great season there. And, of course, our Tampa Bay Rays, the reigning American League champions, across the street at Tropicana Field, where Mark's been perched here at Ferg's for 28 years. I'm Mike Rickard, and each and every Saturday we try to provide you with a portal to positivity, sports, laughter, and conversation, tell a lot of stories, get you a little snippet, snapshot of what's going on in the world of sports, and then have conversations like we will today with Cameron Wembley. Cameron's been on before. He's a former FSU standout and played in the NFL for the Cleveland Browns, number 9 draft pick from Florida State, and played with Oakland and finished his career up with the Tennessee Titans. We're going to talk name, image, and likeness as that topic continues to really heat up with the college football season just around the corner. And we'll see what takes place in all sports, and especially as we watch these Olympics and the conversion from amateur to pro in the Olympic world. Well, essentially, from many perspectives, this is going to be the Wild Wild West. And we'll talk all about name, image, and likeness. And then I want him to share some unique, fun stories from training camp. I'm sure there were plenty in the three clubs that he played in the NFL. As I mentioned last night, what I'm going to mention, the Rays and the Orioles were up in Camden Yards. Nice victory, 10-6 over the Orioles, and they are 2.5 games in first as the Red Sox went down. The hottest team right now in the East is the New York Yankees, and I thought that they definitely made an error by not getting some arms. Well, the bats, Joey Gallo the other night proved it, and Rizzo has as well, so that's the team that I think we need to be on the radar more than the Red Sox. And that was what the original thought was, that it would be a battle between the Rays and the Yankees for the American League East. And the unbelievable thing about these Rays, folks, you got to get behind in this story. They have 17 people right now on the IL. 17. The majority of those are pitchers. And to do what they're doing, I don't care. And I have mixed emotions about analytics. But these guys make some brilliant decisions on who they're bringing up, when they're putting them in, under what situation. And it's absolutely, it's amazing to watch. And baseball purists are just shaking their heads. So anyway, that is a great story in itself. They do battle at 7:10 tonight. And all the TVs down here at Ferg's will be on the Olympics, as well as, of course, the Rays. And UFC 265 tonight down here at 9 o'clock. So come on down. That's free, and it promises to be a great show. The Tokyo Olympics, of course, tomorrow will be the closing ceremonies. They're winding down, as we've talked about the last 2 weeks. 14 Gulf Coast athletes were among the American team, and 62 Floridians. And I'll break down their performances. 3 golds out of those 14 Gulf Coast athletes. Pretty impressive. In fact, last night, I stayed up. Got done about 1:15. Nelly Korda from Bradenton, 23 years young, won the golf, first person to win a major and an Olympic gold medal. And that's just an incredible accomplishment. And she is such a poised young lady. She had a 5-stroke lead, saw that go down, and she never was behind. But many times, 3 or 4 people came up and tied her, and she just kept her composure. And then she had a 2-stroke lead last night, or yesterday in Tokyo. And she had a 2-stroke lead, and then there was a tropical storm or typhoon out in the Pacific. They had to stop play for a period of time, and she had to gather her bearings, and then she continued when they play got started, and she won the gold medal. An incredible accomplishment, and her sister Jessica was with her as well, and I think she finished about 39th. Wonderful story, as I mentioned. Okay, let's do the Coppertail Brewing glance back at the week in sports and look ahead to this week. We'll do the standings. First of all, I'll give you the medal count. 108 for the U.S., commanding lead right now over China with 87 and Russia 68. The gold's tightening up, but it's actually right now China has 38 and the U.S. 34. But you take a look at what we have tonight. We've got the women's basketball. That looks like a sure gold. We've got volleyball. That should be a gold. We've got the women's 4x4. That should be a gold. I'm sorry, the men's 4x4. That should be a gold. So that'd be great if we could surpass China on that. And it's been fun just to follow that. Each and every morning on Sunshine 96.7 FM, I do a Sports Connection 2-minute sports update. And all week long, I've been giving you an update on the medal count. And I'll do that again Monday morning. That's about 8 o'clock. They have the news there. Great morning of jazz. I just want to chill out to get your day going. And then you go into the news, worldwide news, the local news, the local traffic, and then my hyper. Those guys are all so calm on the radio. I listened to it the other day. I thought, well, they follow the jazz music, and those guys are always cool and smooth. And then you got my hyperactive 2-minute wake-you-up shot of coffee. But it's a nice mix, and we're going to continue to do it, and hopefully people enjoy it to start their day out. And all I do, as I'm going to do right now, is give them, you know, snaps. Not that people aren't sports junkies like the people that come down to Ferg's or people like myself, but they like to know what's going on in the world of sport. So what they do is they glance at the paper in conversation, business, interaction with anyone, and you're talking sports, Rays, you're talking Bucks. Try to give you just a little snippet. So as I mentioned in the AL East, Tampa Bay right now is 2.5 games on top of Boston, and then those Yankees are making a move. This is an exciting time of the year because, you know, obviously the majority of the season is behind us, and now we're going into where it gets really critical and wild card implications for many teams in the hunt. So every game is important. Yankees are 5.5 behind. Then you got Toronto's playing great ball. They absolutely pounded Boston yesterday. And then you've got in the West, you've got the Houston Astros. They're 5 games on top of the Oakland A's. Seattle Mariners, who were in town this past week, 7.5 back. And in the Central, Chicago White Sox are running away with that. Now they're 10 games on top of Cleveland. Then Detroit, Kansas City, and Minnesota. And in the NL, really exciting now in the NL East. I knew it would get that way. And the Braves were the team that a lot of people projected to win the NL East regardless. And to possibly give the Dodgers a run, I don't see that happening. And right now, the Dodgers got to take care of their own business. But last night, Philly beat the Mets, and they went on top by 0.5 game, followed by the Atlanta Braves. They're 1.5 games back. And then you've got Washington and then Miami at the bottom of the NL East. In the Central, you got the Brew Crews. They're cruising in that. There's nobody that's going to make a move. The Cincinnati Reds are 7 back. St. Louis Cardinals are disappointing this year, and I don't even want to talk about the team I used to work for, the Chicago Cubs. They gutted the team, and Theo Epstein's gone. Joe Maddon's gone. So it'll be another 100 years before we see a World Series in Chicago. And then the Pittsburgh Pirates, once a storied franchise. They're 24 behind Milwaukee. In the West, and again, and the Giants just amaze me. They're four games on top of the L.A. Dodgers, San Diego Padres. Both those teams loaded up with arms for this 2021 season, and then loaded up at the halfway mark. And it's just amazing what San Francisco's done. And Chris Bryant, of course, came over from the Chicago Cubs. And then Colorado Rockies. And then, I've got a lot of friends that live in Arizona. And they still follow the Diamondbacks, 35.5 games back. And then last night, watching the Baltimore Orioles and the Rays, you feel for that fan base, too. So we should be grateful for what we have in St. Pete. And unfortunately, I'm not going to get on my soapbox. If you want to come down to Ferg's, I'll tell you how I feel. But it's just disappointing that we don't get enough butts in the seats over there at the Trop. All right, let's talk. Yeah, let me go down to the athletes, if you missed last week, that participated from the local area in the Olympics. Most of them are home by now and had great warm at the Tampa Bay airport. Family waiting, friends, and, it was disappointing. Like last night watching the U.S. Beat France, that was a great game down to the end. It just doesn't have that feel without – and we went through it in 2020 in the bubble and every sporting event, limited fans. So, the players are used to it. It just doesn't give you the same vibe, unfortunately. And since they only come around one every 4 years, this one every 5 years. But, these kids, it's great for them to get home and have the love of their friends and family and their communities get behind them. So let's go down the list, and I'll talk a little bit about each one of them. Trayvon Bramall, the young kid from Gibbs, and people are going to feel sorry for him. But if you made the Olympics, I say this about any outstanding athlete, and we're talking about mental illness and the world of sport these days. Well, and so much is expected of him. He goes into, if you hadn't followed this story, the fastest time in the world. He was the favorite to win the 100 meters, and he went to Gibbs High here in South St. Pete. And he's a great role model, and he gives back to Gibbs, and I applaud him for that, and I certainly hope I get an opportunity. I am going to talk to his coaches, but I'd like to talk to him when he comes back to visit as well. So he goes to college, and then he becomes one of the premier sprinters in the world. And he just didn't have a good Olympics. He barely made it through the semifinals, and didn't make the final. And then I did participate in track and field in college, so I can speak on this a little bit. I don't like people on the mics that talk and don't know what they're talking about. And then I was involved at Drake Relays, one of the foremost tournaments and track meets in the world, actually, for several decades. But that U.S. Olympic 4x1 team should be ashamed of themselves, because it was obvious. And you see this. We've been seeing it for four consecutive Olympics. They're not practicing the baton exchange. They are arguably, with the exception of Jamaica and now Italy, the fastest people on the planet. And I think that that's gone to their heads that, no one can compete with America's speed. Well, the rest of the world is catching up. And the importance of that handoff practice and precision is obvious, and it was embarrassing for the U.S., and everyone's trying to sugarcoat it, with the exception of the great Carl Lewis, and he went off, and he should. I mean, there is no reason for what happened, and Trayvon was a part of that team. But on a positive note, what a great young man, and he'll be back on the world stage and continue to impress us, and we're very fortunate to have him. Here's the story, and we'll be watching this young man in 2024 in Paris. Arian Knighton from Hillsborough High. That cat, I was talking about being cool and calm like a jazz guy, when I saw Bernie Williams playing the guitar at Katiki, the jazz guitars, former New York Yankee. Those guys are just composed. Arian Knighton. At 17, he's not even joined. He started his senior year. Here he is on the world stage, the world's best runners, sprinters, and he makes it to the finals. And not only did he make it to the finals, He actually got number. He got fourth place. He was just out of getting a medal. There's Brandywine. He's wearing her NFL alumni gear. Hello, young lady. And as I said, Arian Knighton. What? Yeah, I was saying hello, young lady, to you too. And people walking by. And Arian Knighton. What an incredible performance by that young man. And as I had mentioned in previous shows, he broke Usain Bolt's 18 and under and 20 and under records, world records. And he's going to break a lot of records in his future. And now he has gone pro, but that was very impressive. But not as impressive as just south of here in Bradenton. Last night, Nelly Korda, ranked number one in the world, has a major, and she gets the gold medal in golf. And her sister Jessica there to watch. And I was riveted to it. Because at one point, many golfers would have collapsed. She's up five strokes. It looks like you're just going to hand her the gold medal. She makes some errors that really would have gotten a lot of golfers' heads. And she is composed. Between her and Arian Knighton, two young people composed in the world of sport, that's impressive. And both of them on the Gulf Coast, and we're very fortunate. Allie Kelter in women's rugby participated, and here is the story in swimming. Bobby Fink from Clearwater, trained down here in St. Pete. He's a Gator and 21 years young. In the 800 and the 1,500 meters in the Olympics, two golds for this young man. And he came, talk about a kick. He came from third place in both of those races. Well, not the 1,500 as much, but in the 800, and very impressive. Two gold medals for him. And then we had Ray Simbadin from Tampa in fencing. Anastasia Krajicek, and I did pronounce that properly, in taekwondo, another gold from Largo. She's 18 years old. These youngsters just absolutely blew it away for Pride in the Bay Area, and very impressive. Austin Krajicek participated in tennis from Brandon. Jake Hardy in skateboard. I watched him from Osprey. Emma Wyant in swimming. Paige Raley and Mary Tucker in shooting from Sarasota. Clark Dean in rowing from Sarasota. Some congratulations to all 14 of those Bay Area Floridians that participated in the 2021-2020 Olympics. And then don't forget, we had 62 Floridians that participated, and that represented 10% of all of the athletes that America took over to Tokyo. And as I mentioned, right now we're comfortably in front in the medal count. And I'm not going to get on my soapbox. A lot of people say, well, there isn't enough patriotism in these Olympics. Well, you know what? I certainly believe that there is. And I got flags. Notice I brought the flags today. I got a couple here.
All over.
Yeah, I got them down there. To represent the good old red, white, and blue. How are you, dear?
Hey, how are you?
Real good. It's going to be a little steamy today, but you got your short sleeve shirt
it
on.
It is.
That's a cool shirt. Does it got a hood on it?
Huh?
Does it have a hood on it?
Yeah.
Put your headphones on.
Oh, yeah.
I brought wipes today.
I got a hood, and I'm a hoodie today. But I also
we're not in the hood.
If you notice something else around my neck.
Oh, that's beautiful.
This is the top half of the
Oakland Raiders
Super Bowl 15 Oakland Raiders ring. The players were kind enough. My husband was kind enough to give me the top half of the ring for a necklace. It's going to be interesting to see what the top half of the new
you could wear around your neck and choke
you. Super Bowl 55 necklaces look like after
you put
I
one of those on, didn't you?
The other day.
Did you put it on, or was that Barry?
Uh huh.
Did you put one on last Sunday, or did Barry do it?
Oh, I did. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got photos with
your arm
with
hurt?
Brian Ford, the CFO over there.
Yeah,
he
I saw
around.
Yeah.
He's a good buddy.
Did your arm hurt after
Let me tell you something. I thought our Super Bowl 15 ring was big, but when I put this thing on, it took over half my hand. The band on it is about almost an inch thick. Thing is monstrous. See, the score to the game was 31-9.
Yep.
So they decided to do 319 diamonds.
I saw all the details behind it, and talk about amazing details. But here's the thing about these rings. Can you imagine Super Bowl 100? I mean, every year, the organization wants to one-up the other organization.
Well, it is. Listen to this. In Super Bowl 15, the NFL gave the winning Super Bowl team $3,700 stipend. And then the owners would put in the difference of if they wanted to go over that pricing. But I also wanted to pay tribute today to my buddy, Coach Tom Flores, who's getting inducted tomorrow night into the Pro Legends Hall of Fame. I got to tell you about Tom because he was also my husband's coach in the 80 season. And, you know, he was a two-time Super Bowl winner. But above that, he was, a lot of people don't know, he was the very first Latino quarterback in the league and also the very first Latino coach. And now he will be the very first Latino Hall of Famer into the Hall of Fame tomorrow night. So I can't say enough about him and being part of Raider Nation and then also over here on the Bucks side because my husband played for the Bucks too and I've been so excited for them. But I do have to give out a shout out to Coach Tom Flores and his family and Raider Nation for tomorrow night.
You know what? I was just talking about composed, cool cats, and he was one of those guys on the sidelines.
Yeah, he was like a Dungy. He was a quiet.
Yeah.
He knew how to get the job done like Dungy.
And the players respected him, obviously. And that's what I liked about him. And he just kept his cool on the sidelines, composed. Wasn't, you know, one of those raging maniacs that had to check his blood pressure every time, a mistake went against him. And your husband and you were fortunate. And he's still... I think, is it a Coors Light commercial he's in now? He's in a really funny commercial.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it's, Coors. Yeah, I think it's Coors.
We may be wrong there, but the bottom line, at his age, how old is he going to be, 80?
He's got to be in his 80s. ESPN did a really nice tribute to him this morning, and they brought a bunch of Raider Nation guys on and from Oakland and L.A. And a lot of the coaches. So it was a really nice tribute to him this morning.
All right, so I'm going off my script.
Yeah, sorry.
I got to do this properly. I want to welcome Brandi Winans to our St. Pete Sports Connection family. And it's a huge family. Me and you.
Yes, sir.
I liken it to an expansion franchise picking up a Hall of Famer. Here we are, an expansion franchise, and we were able to pluck away a Hall of Famer and put her on the roster. Very fortunate. As you have had a Hall of Fame life here in the world of sport, as far as I'm concerned, in the greater St. Pete area, with the NFL, Tampa Alumni Association. You've been involved with the Florida Rising Stars. You've helped with Florida Sports Hall of Fame. You tell the rest of your bio.
Well, first of all, I just want to say...
And I want to thank you very, very much for getting involved. I even brought your cards.
All right. I'm official.
You're official. Look at these babies. Yours are in the box still.
Oh! Oh, these are awesome. I am so excited. And also, I just want to say thank you for having me, bringing me on board. I'm very excited to be here and be a part of the St. Pete Sports Connection. Growing up here, leaving, coming back, this is my hometown. And the Tampa Bay area is the area where I have had the most envisioned of sports and athletic career and being a part of all these different aspects. I really have to give my husband all the credit from being a former NFL player. We started our foundation and didn't know how to raise money and started getting involved with all these celebrities to come out and play for our charity and other charities. So I'm grateful.
Your husband, Jeff Winans, you wrote a book about your experiences and talk a little bit about the book and how people can get the book because it is a great read. If you love sports, and I call it a story of tragedy and triumph from my perspective of reading it. And you did a superb job, and of course, a lot of emotion, commitment to doing it. It's not easy to go back and remember some of the things that were tragic in your life. But it's rehab too, right?
Oh, it's total rehab. It took me about 8 years to write the book. I was trying to get Jeff to write it, and it got too emotional for him. And I'm thinking, that's okay. I'll do it. Well, no, it was emotional too. We had a lot of tragedy. We had a lot of blessings, and My husband played 7 years in the pros with Buffalo, Tampa, and the Raiders. And prior to that, literally from Pop Warner, played 18 years of football as a lineman. And then Madden switched him over to offense when he came here to Tampa. But, you know, when you look back at our lives, every one of us, Mike, has a story to tell. Some stories are bigger than others. But I think, you know, for years, because of some of the things we went through, we were ashamed to talk about it. We didn't want, you know, you become a little pillar in the community and all of a sudden, you know, you don't want to go back and talk about things that happened. But when you do, it's just like what you said. It's healing. It's moving. And all of a sudden, you're not afraid to tell your story if you can help somebody else.
And you have done that, and you're very involved in CTE. Let's talk a little bit about Jeff and what he went through and what, thousands of NFL players, well, many people, veterans, boxers, people that have had head trauma go through CTE.
Right. CTE is chronic traumatic encephalopathy, and we didn't really realize Jeff was physically disabled from football at 30 years old, and over a progression of years, he came on with more and more neurocognitive problems, which neither one of us understood until we finally got diagnosed. Unfortunately, he was not diagnosed until after death. It's been 8 years now, but we've come so far in detecting neurocognitive diseases, even from Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and dementia. CTE was kind of invented by and founded by a guy in 1968, another former physician, who saw that the slides were different than dementia and Alzheimer's. We never had expected it to be in athleticism, into sports. We would see it in traumatic injuries, accidents, and things like that. But it's a tau protein that literally will eat your brain alive while you're alive. And it's similar to dementia and Alzheimer's with the same type of neurocognitive problems.
And you dealt with that, and then your struggles against the NFL trying to get compensated. And not just for you, but for the many, many players that were dealing with this, and the NFL did not want to address it. And this book, The Flip Side of Glory, tells that story, and it's exceptional. And then you were on a documentary on HBO, and you've been beating the drum for quite some time there.
I have. I've been a very strong advocate since the first time I saw Chris Nowinski on an HBO Real Sport interview in 2007. And after speaking with him, I ended up at the congressional hearings giving written testimony on what the families go through behind closed doors when the shoulder pads and the helmets come off. And the family unit is really lost in transition. And I'm still on the Family Advisory Board for Concussion Legacy Foundation. I will always be a very strong advocate for our NFL former and current players and our Concussion Legacy Foundation, because it becomes a family. And, everybody, when they're first leaving the game or leaving a company or starting over, is going to go through some things. And it's always good to have somebody that you can turn to no matter what profession you're in.
You know, you bring that up, and I was listening today, and it's been in front of us since the Olympics, and Simone Biles and her coming out and saying, you know, I've got mental stress, mental health issues. And, you know, being an old man that, you know, boxing, you know, the old tough it up, get back in there, here's some smelling salts. I'm kind of torn, and this is my position. I think it's healing. I think it's good, and I do believe 1,000% that there's a lot of pressure on these young people. I'm not minimizing that. I'm just concerned that as a society, if we continue to everything that somebody has an issue with, if we just pat them on the back, you and I have been through some incredible struggles in our life.
Wasn't anybody patting us on the back?
No, and I'm not saying that was right.
Right.
But it gives you strength to push through.
Exactly.
So this is a tough topic right now. I agree. The way that they treat those young gymnasts at a young age is horrific. Now, professional athletes have, you know, mental breakdowns. Mental illness is the real deal. It's legit.
Right.
I'm just getting concerned about our society every time somebody has an issue, well, I'm having mental problems. Well, we have mental problems every day trying to make a decision. Damn, this is tough.
God, well, it's hot here's
today.
What happens.
We got to tough through this. And now we're not going to tough through it anymore and go and reach out. And that's where I think is going to be a fine line, Brandy.
I totally agree with you there. It is a very, very fine line. And I think that, you know, if you are a well-known athlete or a celebrity or whoever you are, you know, a Bill Gates, every little thing that the media learns about you comes out. And I think that that's wrong. I don't agree with that. But I think I agree with you completely. We escalate these things to a point of no return. And that's not the point of sharing.
Well, and here's the issue in 2021, social media. I mean, any clown can sit out there and criticize Simone Biles for being a quitter. Well, she wasn't a quitter. She was a winner.
Right.
And then when she came back and got the bronze, God bless her. That was a great testament and a statement. Hey, I'm not making this up. This is the real deal. And on another side note, she gave those other young gymnasts an opportunity to excel. The little
Absolutely.
Gal from Minneapolis and the Hmong community. That was
did.
Wonderful
and they
story.
Did. Yeah, they did.
And they stepped up to the plate and got gold and silvers and gold. And if she would have still tried to tough it out and not meddled, the U.S. wouldn't have been in the position that she was in. So congratulations, and I applaud her for her decision. But, again, listening to this conversation these guys were having, I tend to agree with them. We got to be careful on how it's analyzed.
Yes.
And it's clowns on the radio that are slamming them that don't know what they're talking about. It's the people in social media. And these are young people. She's 24 years old. They're in tune to social media. They see these comments about themselves. I would say, F you. I don't care.
Right.
I got thick skin. Well, these are kids. They don't have thick skin. And there's a lot of people that don't have thick skin and can't take the pressure. And, you know, when they're having in the bat, when they're in a slump in baseball, when they got the yips in golf, these are all mental things, man. That's just part of the human process.
It is part of the human process. And one of the things that I have found in a lot of our media is that I remember that all the different interviews I've done and how I would want to see a proof if it was being written. And, of course, that always goes by the wayside. And, all of a sudden, my editor decided to just go ahead and print it. We thought we'd let you know. And, of course, the editor has changed half the story and escalated it and half untruths and those kind of things. And then when it hits the media, it goes bonkers. And I think,
fake
you know,
news.
Exactly. It's fake
it's
news.
It's sickening.
It is. It's terrible.
And it's a plight of the world right now. You don't know what the... I'm not talking about the political agendas.
Right. Get away
I'm
from talking the about, everyday stuff.
Here's the journalist that it's all up. Get over yourself. Just tell us the stinking story. You know, who was it? Just the facts, ma'am. Just give us the facts. Well, it's hard to find facts these
days.
It
is. And, you know, the Bible says, lest we judge not. You know, until you've walked in somebody else's shoes, how
Shut
can you...
Shut
the
hell up.
That's right. That's right.
That's my attitude. Like,
until you've tied those shoes, I don't claim to walk in anybody's shoes, but until you've tied my
exactly.
shoes, let's get on with it.
But the mental element of it, that's where I sidetrack, but it's a big issue right now. With the CTE that you went through, the hell you went through, and the hell that all these families have gone through, and to the point of suicidal. And it's, well, Chronicle, we know the names.
Right.
That just couldn't take it.
It goes back to the education.
Is it pain in the head, too, or just, do they have constant headaches?
Very bad headaches, yes. Very, very, very bad headaches, which creates anger management, which creates memory loss.
And opiate addiction
and
in many cases.
And opioid addictions, because the brain is racing, so you're picking up either alcohol, drugs, prescription drugs,
anything.
Illegal drugs, or all of the above.
Anything to medicate it.
Anything to medicate to try to calm the brain. And people forget that. They don't understand that. It's similar to dementia and Alzheimer's as well. And Parkinson's also became a big contributor.
Well, look at Muhammad Ali. I think the greatest boxer, well, presence on the earth during his time. But look what happened to Muhammad. And
exactly.
And I can name a ton of boxers.
But you know what? At the end of the day, it's like... I do kickboxing. I've been an athlete my whole life.
You don't let anybody kick you in the head anymore.
But here's
I hope.
The thing. it's a passion. It's a gift. It's something that I love. And I remember Jeff's coaches talking at his celebration of life. It was his gift. It was his passion. He lived and breathed it. And why would you take that away from anybody if that's their gift? And that was the gift that God gave them to be in the sports world and to be able to produce and be an All-American and basketball, football, all those track, all those different things. That was his passion. And why would you take that away from somebody? You can't.
I agree. And you gotta realize, you know, you and I at our age, we have seen an incredible information age. And now there's so much information they have to digest and then facilitate taking that into the sports world and trying to protect people. I mean, we have injuries. We have more injuries right now, like in baseball. The Rays have 17 youngsters on IL. You know what? Because, no offense, I love your guys, but they're going to places like I Am Fitness, and they're turning into machines. And they're putting stress on the human body. And that's just the reality. Faster, stronger, quicker is what's going to happen. Well, that's the same reality, you know, with these guys that it's their passion. They want to play. And so they're taking all this information.
They want to be the best. They want to be the best.
They're taking all that information, comprising it, and then building the machine. And that machines break down.
Machines are going to break down, and what they forget down the road, and they, you know, it's the educational side of letting them be educated. It's like a family member whose husband or wife leaves the game for whatever reason. It's the educational side of that family to get them educated on what that player has been through and where they need to go, and then it's to help that player regroup and recreate their mindset. But first they need to go into their man cave or woman cave and just grieve and have that downtime in order to regroup. But also in that educational process, just like what you said, Mike, you've got to be able to know when you keep getting injury after injury after injury that down the road it's going to affect you.
Yeah, and you got to make that. And now there's so much more information. You can make that decision whether, hey, quality of life is something that I want.
Though, there's also a lot more new technological ways to improve your body, like stem cell therapy, like all these different therapies that you can get. Knee replacements.
Parts is parts. Hey, you're listening to St. Pete Sports Connection on RadioSt.Pete.com. Sunshine 96.7 FM, and streaming on our website, stpetesportsconnection.com. Brandy Wine and Mike Rickard. We're waiting for Cameron Wembley. We're going to have a nice conversation on name, image, and likeness, and that is a hot button right now. Hey, a reminder, Sunshine 96.7 FM, it's the Bay's local music leader. We have over 630 artists, according to Jay Now. He's done a superb job, Jay Cole. And as I mentioned, it's growing each and every day. An artist comes out, and you've got jazz, you got blues, you got country, folk, everything. I'm trying to get a little more R&B in there. I'm an R&B guy. I'm a Motown man. But anyway, and then on Monday through Friday, 8 o'clock, I do the St. Pete Sports Connection 2-Minute Sports Update. I'm getting rid of my nasally, I was saying earlier. Okay, if you turn on Sunshine 96.7 at FM before me, it's jazz. Nice and calm and quiet. And then they've got the worldwide news. They've got the traffic report. They got the U.S. news. And these are calm public radio guys. And then you got my hyper. Good morning and welcome to St. Pete Sports Connection. Get your butt out of bed.
Rise and shine, porcupine.
They're probably like, what the hell was that? But it's 8 o'clock, you know, you've had your coffee. Let's rock and roll. Get out
That's
there and
right.
move.
That's right.
I was listening. I thought, this doesn't fit into the way this all sounds nice and smooth, and then bam, I hit you right in the face at 8:05.
Hey, I was also looking at some of our other players over at the Olympics right now, and what about Kevin Durant?
Oh,
OMG.
Great game. Well, you know what? He just signed a...
$198 million renewal with the Nets.
49. There's Cameron Wembley. Cameron didn't make $49 million a year like KD just did. I knew they had met before. You're not the first guy she's hugged walking by here today, Cameron. She's a hugger. Anyway, Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Here's my. We'll talk about that real quick on the U.S. Olympic. teams. And we're talking, you know, we're going to talk money, name, image, and likeness. And you'll look at the dominance of the U.S. NBA-injected teams. And we should not get beat by anybody on the planet. We certainly can. But look at all the players that stayed home.
Yeah.
And I understand from a business perspective, but, you know, for France, and they have three guys playing the NBA on their team. And it's become such a global game. It's not the old days. It isn't just
right.
Russia against the U.S., you know, for the gold, which was pretty much every year. Right now, it's very global, and you saw that. And every one of these teams, including Nigeria, have NBA players on them. Well, two of our players from the Milwaukee Bucks had just got done winning the NBA championship. So people were complaining when France beat us. And Popovich is piecing this team together. Well, these guys haven't played for a while. The rules are different.
Popovich?
Yeah. He's going to be like Weekend at Bernie's sometime. They're just going to prop him on the sidelines, and he's going to go like this. Pop, you gotta love him.
I loved his comment at the end. Well, I'm going to go get something.
Yeah.
I'm going to go get something now. I'm going back to my room and getting something.
All right, Pop. You know, he just leaves. He likes to play with the media, first of all.
I know, he's great.
He has for years.
He's great.
But to see Durant, but that's the game where you really watched and realized fan participation would have made a big difference.
Yeah.
I'm watching that game last night. I think it was like 12:35, wasn't it? Towards the end, and I'm thinking, you know, this should be just going crazy. This is a dang good game. It's going down the wire, and we're making mistakes, and France is battling in there. And thank God that Rudy Gobert is the Shaq of free throws. I mean, they kept following him, and he's clanking them up there. I'm like, that's perfect. And they're not shooting threes.
Right.
So, you know, Pop knew what he was doing. But and the game goes a lot faster.
Yeah.
And I like the way that the Olympic officials officiate games.
Yes.
There's no flopping, whining. That's what LeBron just upset me during the playoffs. I'm not an anti-LeBron guy, but I was like, they're looking for flops now, and these guys won't let them do it, man. And there was an adjustment. They're staring at this European ref. He's like, "Screw you! You make $25 million a year. I'm not giving you that call. I don't care. Yeah, I just don't." But Durant, yeah, that contract is $198 million. Signed while he was doing the Olympic deal. There's proof, Steph Curry. There's proof, LeBron. You can still do your business while you're on that stage.
While you're on the stage. That's right.
Representing.
That's right.
Red,
and it
white,
goes
blue.
Back to what we just talked about earlier. It's about the passion of the game. It's about having that passion, having that heart. Because without the heart part, you know, you can work out all you want. But if you don't have heart.
Or skills.
You got nothing.
Yeah,
you got to have the skill, yeah, but that's part of the working out and the practice and the focus and discipline, but you got to have the heart.
Absolutely. Let me take care of a little business here. I want to shout out to all our alliance with the Florida Raising Stars and, of course, the Florida Sports Hall of Fame, my buddy Barry Smith, the NFL Alumni Chapter. Hey, Brandy. Let's talk a little, real quickly, NFL Alumni Chapter. What's going on these days?
We have been putting on some events, and I just worked with the Bucks last weekend. I'm sorry you missed it. For our Legends Day with our NFL
He's too young to be
Tampa
a legend
Bay
yet.
Chapter.
He's too young. He just got done playing a few years ago. You don't want, that's like, you're on the seniors tour yet? No, I passed that about 14 years ago.
Let me clarify that. We have legends. We have former NFL players. Okay.
Okay.
And, you know, Cameron, I did wear Super Bowl 15's Raider in honor of Tom Flores. We talked about Tom Flores getting inducted into the Hall of Fame tomorrow night. So I did have to wear my Raider colors today.
Are you going to act like a Raider fan now and get nuts? You want some shots at the bar?
I've been a fan of Raider. I've been part of Raider Nation for years.
To get you some shots and have you start in trouble?
We have some upcoming things. We actually had a small back-to-school backpack earlier today over at the University of, I think it was Mendoza. Forgive me for the actual thing because I just saw it on my way here this morning. We did another back-to-school backpack. Cameron actually did a Boys and Girls Club event that we did a few weeks ago that was extremely successful. And we're going to be doing some other events this year, including our annual Super Bowl of Golf, which is going to be moved to March of 2022 this year. But we've got our national Super Bowl of Golf coming up October 21st through the 24th. And I'm excited because it's going to be at Mission Inn here in Florida. So I don't have to travel very far.
Well, I'm going to have to go over there and snag a media pass.
Exactly.
Stand around like I'm important and get some interviews for
exactly
for our website, stpsportsconnection.com.
But you know, we'll keep you up to date on some of the other things we're going to be doing this fall.
All right, dear. Well, I certainly appreciate you coming on. I'll throw you on here at the end of this conversation. Then the three of us have a little bite to eat and visit when we get done.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. All right, let me take care of a little business, and then I'm going to we're going to talk name, image, and likeness, and we're going to have you share some of your training camp stories. I think that'll be that's always interesting. There's the good, the bad, and the ugly when it comes to those stories. And of course, if you have stories or anything or individuals, and we'd like the positive stories in the community, get a hold of me or get a hold of Brandy, St. Pete Sports Connection at gmail.com, and we'll reach out to you, and we'll get you on the air. We'll promote it. If you have a fundraiser that has a great cause in mind, that's the things that we really like to do, and keep positivity from the peewees to the preps to the pros. That's pretty much been my mantra for almost 25, 30 years, and looking forward to Brandy being a part of the team. One thing I am proud of, and we got to figure out how to manage this, is the 25,000 views now, and we're continuing to accelerate. I learned a valuable lesson through this process, and Cameron's going to get involved and assist me with that. I did put Olympic logo in several places where I posted, and they reject your posting them from an ad perspective. But we've had over 25,000 views on our Facebook page, St. Pete Sports Connection. That's just the last month. And most of that was because I had posted our local Olympians and their success and where they're from and where they're going. And that just tells you that there's a lot of people interested in the local stories besides what – and they all do a great job. St. Pete Sports Connection is never going to try to compete for providing you up-to-date information as they do on all the news channels and the sports radio. These guys are all superb in this market. But they don't have enough airtime. So as we build this platform, the three of us that are sitting here today and Joe Boudreau, and I've got some exciting things coming down the road, we're going to find those stories behind the scenes. And I want to talk to Bobby Fink and talk about getting up early in the morning and you know, what his breakfast was and his favorite coach growing up besides his pops. And I want to talk to Nellie Corder about her battles with her sister Jessica down in Bradenton. Those are the kind of things that we will dig into and have a lot of fun doing. And as I said, anybody that has a story that they want on the air, just get a hold of me and or Brandy at stpsportsconnection@gmail.com, and we'll take care of you. Oh, also, started another little side business that I'm going to plug each and every week because everybody likes to save money. It's called the Connection Collection Activewear. It's the best buy in the Bay, I assure you. And my biggest client right now is Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. And I love Mark, but he's a frugal man. And he said he's never seen such quality and pricing. He's bought over 1,500 pieces. He created a merchandise shop down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. I've got Copper Tail Brewing on board. I've got Katiki, and I've just started this. And so if you would like to get a quote, just email me at stpsportsconnection@gmail.com, and I'll get back to you. And we have a drop ship. My friend has a location in Philly and in Ocean City, Maryland, and we'll get you all geared up. And as I said, it's Connection Collection Activewear, the best buy in the Bay. And let's do my promo for my buddy, Dan Nicola. I'm going to get over there Wednesday and get my amazing massage therapy. It's called BAT. BAT stands for Body Armor Transitional Massage. Dan is the genius behind this chronic pain relief. I've talked about it for months now, And it really had an impact on our family. My sister, Julie, that had neurological issues. And my girlfriend, Terry, said, you need to maybe come over to the spa, Paradise Spa over in Treasure Island. This guy's got this therapy, and it's amazing. And people are walking out of that session, and they're just, you know, they're overwhelmed. They're grateful. They're tearful in my sister's case. Anyway, it's a 30-minute consultation. He's got a special right now. And as I mentioned, body armor transitional massage therapy. And Dan will explain the ins and outs of it for you in layman's terms, like he has done for me, basically in dumb jock speak, so I could interpret it. But he's got a great deal right now. 30-minute consultation. It's $119 value with a 30-minute bat therapy session. $92 value for all, $99 for all of it. It's a 50% savings. And it's not a massage like you think. It actually, I had tingling, I have arthritis in my shoulders, my knees, and I wasn't getting the blood flow and the fluid flow through my appendages. And through this process, I get up off that bed, I guess you call it. I'd never gotten a massage in my entire life, actually, prior to that. And this is the real deal. He'll break it down for you. For more information, go to battherapy.com. As I mentioned, I go Wednesdays, and I get out of there, and I'm ready to rock and roll. I joined the Y now. I head down to the Y, get a good workout in, and I'll be able to actually feel the pain as I go down to the YMCA with Mark Ferguson. A couple of my buddies hang out down there. So give Paradise Spa a call, 727-360-4300. It works wonders for my beat-up body, and it will for you. And Labor Day weekend, like I said, we got a lot of announcements here. Labor Day weekend, we'll be live from the pier as we partner with St. Pete Clearwater Sports and Events covering the P1 Grand Prix Boats and Wave Runners. And that is Sunshine 96.7 FM. We'll be down there a good portion of the afternoon giving you live reports. They've got Wave Runners. And talk about exhilarating and an adrenaline rush. We're looking forward to that. And Coppertail Brewing's getting behind us on that. And there'll be Coppertail beer specials down on the pier. They pour it down there already. And we've got some great news next week with Coppertail. And they've got an exciting beer coming out for football season. If you're a fan of the Bucks, you're going to want to get this brand. And we'll make the announcement next week. But that is on the 4th. Yeah, I'm sorry. September 4th, Labor Day weekend. And we'll be live down there at the pier, the P1 Grand Prix Boats and Wave Runners, and we're looking forward to that relationship with Tim Ransberger and all their big events in 2021 and 2022. Sunshine 96.7 FM, RadioSt.Pete.com, and then, of course, St. Pete Sports Connection will be perched there giving you play-by-play. Let's see. Oh, one other announcement. Game watch tomorrow here at Ferg's. It's 1:10. It's the Orioles and the Rays. But Budweiser is promoted down here during the third, sixth, and ninth innings. There are going to be all kinds of contests. Budweiser's taking over this outside, actually. And it's going to be they're doing it at sports bars all over the Bay Area. And I'll tell you what, there's some great prizes. So come on down tomorrow. 1:10 is the first pitch. Prizes during the third, sixth, and ninth innings. I'll be here all afternoon as well. And that's the Rays and Orioles. And it's the Budweiser and Ferg's Game Watch. They've been doing it, and I'm looking forward to being a part of that tomorrow. Make sure you log on to stpsportsconnection.com. We are updating that site as we speak, and that's one of the things that Brandy's going to be involved in, and we're going to get some support and expertise from Cameron and his gang. And I'm going to have a little promo here for this gentleman. Mark, grab that microphone, my friend. And I met this gentleman yesterday. Well, Mark, he's good at this. You're lucky to have Mark Ferguson on your side because I think I'm a promoter. Is that on? Turn that on. There you go. And I think I'm a promoter, but then he just grabs me out of the blue. Come over here and take a picture. I don't know you from Adam. You know, you're not advertising with me, but anything that Mark gets behind, and I get behind local businesses and entrepreneurs, and you and I had a nice conversation yesterday.
Yes, we did.
So introduce yourself and tell everybody a little bit about the product and the business.
Well, thank you, Mike. I appreciate you giving me a minute to do this. It's a new restaurant delivery app that we've just launched in downtown St. Pete just 3 weeks ago. And it's all about supporting local. The big national restaurant delivery apps like Uber Eats, Grubhub, DoorDash, and Uber, and those guys are been hurting independent restaurants for a long time, charging outrageous commissions.
They're the only game in town then,
it's
you
a
guys.
It's a monopoly. Right, right, exactly. So now what we've done is we've given the community here a local choice, okay? A local choice to help their independent restaurants. They've been struggling, as everybody knows, through COVID. Now the staffing shortage, right, has been hurting them. And all along, these big three, the Uber Eats, the Grubhub, and DoorDash, have just been hurting those independents with these high commission rates. They're up to over 30%.
Wow.
30%. And, you know, this is...
That's taking advantage of the situation that America's in, actually, the world's in.
It really
without
is.
Without a shadow of a doubt, and impacting those... Look how many small businesses. I can name them down here in Central Avenue that have gone out of business during COVID. And that's horrible. I didn't know it was that kind of rate, man.
Yeah, we've got right now about 45 restaurants online in downtown St. Pete. We're adding new ones every day. But, you know, it's folks like, you know, Mark Ferguson here at Ferg's and John Labuddy over at, you know, The Big Catch and Josh Cameron.
All local guys.
Yeah, all these local guys, right? Pete Bolin and Tom Golden over at the Lure. And so, you know, all these local restaurants, they're just fed up. They can't get ahead, Mike, with, working with those big companies. Again, because the commissions, and worst of all, they don't share customer data, Mike.
Well, and I don't want my data shared because I ordered some food, for cripe's sakes.
Right. Well, you know, and you want to, if you've got your customers, you want to reach out to them and thank them and say, hey.
Yeah, but just you.
Right.
They chose to come to you,
right,
and you reach out to them. I didn't tell, you know, I want your services, but I don't want you sharing that so somebody else is going to bug me for my services.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
that would drive me crazy.
Yeah.
All right, well, you said that, and it's near and dear to my heart, the great state of Iowa, you said that this idea came out of Iowa City, Iowa, home of the Hawkeyes, my man.
Yes, it did. A gentleman by the name of John Sewell.
He said he's a Michigan Wolverine.
He's a Wolverine.
But I like you, so we'll run with this.
Well, thank you, Mike. But, yeah, he started this about 4 years ago in Iowa City. The app there.
Great college town, people who don't know what it is.
That's right. It's called Chomp, and Iowa City is what the app is called. And, you know, once again, Grubhub came to town and bought out the local delivery service that was there and then increased the commissions to 30%. So him and a group of restaurant owners got together, independent restaurant owners.
Sure.
And created their own delivery app. And that's really what we've done, and it's been very, very successful in that area. The community has really gotten behind it, Mike, which is what's important.
Absolutely.
I mean, the community has to get behind this and understand what these independents are going through. And it's hard when, you know, the big Uber Eats puts a commercial.
The Walmarts of the world come and destroy the world.
Yeah. And, you know, Uber Eats spends millions of dollars on a commercial ad for Super Bowl talking about supporting local. How can you support local when you're charging them 30%?
Yeah. Well, we know how that world, you and I have been
right?
in business long enough. We know how that world is. Okay, so tell people how to use your service for free delivery on your first order. Is that right?
That's right.
$15?
Yep. Free delivery on your first order. You can go first. You want to, you know, either you can go online to Loco, LOCO, TampaBay.com.
I know a lot of local people in, literally local in Tampa Bay.
It's all about supporting local. But you go to the website and place an order, or you can download the app. Okay, so you go to the app store. And search for Get Loco, LOCO, Get Loco.
I like that. It's catchy.
That's what we're doing. We're getting local here. Download the app, and then when you get the app, you put in, there's a the code there. Just look for when you go to place an order, you get free delivery, okay, in your first order, and just put in Get Loco, all right, as your promo code, and you'll get free delivery.
Perfect. All right, my friend. Look forward to following your success, and you got our support.
I just want to add one more thing. Again, want to remind the people out there that this app is owned by the local independent restaurants. Okay,
perfect.
So this is different from any other type of what so-called local delivery is all about. This is where the restaurants themselves have, you know, a number of them have invested their hard-earned dollars to make this go. And well, so now we just need to...
If Mark Ferguson's behind it, I know it's
Mark
local.
Mark is behind it. There's a big group of them, and bless them, because this is what the community needs. And all that money is going to stay home, all those hard-earned dollars.
All right. Thank you, my man.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate
Good
your
luck,
today.
And I appreciate any entrepreneur, as you and I talked about. Now we'll have a little conversation with the... he's the grand poobah of Bulldogs. You never thought he was going to be introduced like that. The grand poobah of Bulldogs. Bulldog ancestry, correct?
Yeah, man. I played with the Little League team, too, with the same name, Bulldog. So
really?
Yeah, man.
That's Cameron Wembley. He, Wichita native, went to Florida State, played in the NFL for the Cleveland Browns, and, of course, the Oakland Raiders, near and dear to Brandy's heart, and then finished it up with the Tennessee Titans. He's been kind enough to be on our show several times. Thanks for coming over today, my man. I'm sure if I asked what you've been up to, we wouldn't have enough time. Because you've got your fingers, you're kind of like Brandy, you got your fingers in everything. Yeah, but well, what have you been putting most of your energy into recently?
Well, it's been...
Besides your daughters.
Yeah, definitely. I actually just went to go visit them. They're about to start back to school, so that's an exciting time. But
what grades?
So we got one who's actually going to the seventh grade.
Oh, my. Those boys will be sniffing around. You better...
Oh, man.
We're waiting at the door. How you doing, youngster?
No, it'll
see you.
It'll...
Keep walking.
No, it's been great. They're great kids, and then we have some elementary kids as well. So, I believe the oldest actually is going to the eighth grade this year.
You better know the numbers, man.
Yeah, man. So,
eighth grade.
Yeah. Well, the visit at the school was with the elementary kids. So, my oldest daughter, I think she might get away, you know, without me having to go talk to the teacher initially. But she's a great kid. All my daughters are
I'm
great
sure
kids.
They are.
They do well in school, so I'm happy for them. And they've been awesome. They do a little bit of sports, so I get to support them in that way.
What sports? A little bit of everything?
Yeah, so they've been in dance. So I've been to, you know, ballet recitals.
That was my daughter. My boys are jocks, and I'm in the front row of ballet and dance and theater. And I'm cheering just as hard, and my sons are looking at me and go, you better be cheering. She's at your games. This is just as important to her as your basketball or football game, you clown.
Oh, definitely, man. I enjoy watching them, and my oldest is playing basketball, so, you know, she's getting better. You know, she's doing better than I did at that age, so it's been encouraging to watch her. And, yeah, so for the most part, I've been just, you know, planning for this upcoming season, just kind of evaluating sports, looking at where we stand in the medals with the Olympics. And I think everybody's kind of sitting back and waiting to see how the NIL thing plays out with athletes and what type of deals are coming across the table. So, you know, I've already seen some interesting things happen in that space. So we're just going to keep evaluating and see how things go. There have been some kids that, you know, we've had good connectivity to. They've gone to our camps, and, you know, they've played in 7-on-7, and now they're going to college.
Explain these camps to our audience.
Okay, so a lot of kids get exposure from, like, 7-on-7
camps. And what organization is this?
So this was an FCA camp.
Okay, great. Yeah, you and I talked about it. Okay.
Locally, and then Florida State also had a camp here as well. It was free, I believe, for the kids. Coach Norvell came down, so... you have these different opportunities for kids to get exposure, and one of them that's popular throughout, you know, multiple years now would be 7-on-7. So there was that one that was done by FCA, and it was called King of Kings. So it was really good. It was about 30 to 40 some odd high school kids and teams out there. So it was awesome.
I think Spectrum News 9 was out there, didn't they? And did a piece on it. One of the locals did a nice piece on that and interviewed the president of the FCA, and it looked like a heck of a camp.
Oh, yeah. No.
Is that where you were standing next to the Super Bowl trophy with our hat on?
That was, man. I got to see
the trophy. That was impressive.
That
was the greatest PR that I could have ever gotten.
You know what? The thing about it is I get to see now how much the community has to, you know, put in for the team to be able to do well, right? That as players, we're nothing without the fans, so... To see everybody rally during the time as this and be able to bring home that trophy has been awesome, along with the Lightning and what they've been doing and the Rays. I mean, it's just clicking on all cylinders. I was over by the Rowdy Stadium as well, so been kind of seeing some of their highlights. So it's an exciting time to be in Tampa and be involved in sports.
Well, one of the things I'll say about those two ownership groups, the Bucks and the Lightning, they do appreciate the community. As you're well aware, Brandy, at the Boys and Girls, the Glazers have been incredible of supporting the Boys and Girls clubs. But and the Vinicks, I mean, they give back. And those are the people that it's not tough to love their teams. Even if you're not a fan, you got to love what they're doing in the communities. And I think that goes a long way for their fan base.
I definitely see that, you know, the community embraces the teams here. And, you know, that says a lot, you know, especially I do appreciate all the work that Darcy does, especially with women in sports and even with the Bucks. They hire women on the staff there and we're able to, they're able to win.
You know, you look at Bruce Arians and you think he's just a guy's guy. And I was shocked when it was his call. He brought two girls on right when he took over. He brought two women onto his staff. And I thought, he just seems like a good old boy, you know. Women, you've got your place over here, but he's absolutely not. Very open-minded, but he's been married for, you know, like 40-some years. I'm sure his wife had a little chirp in his ear. But that's fabulous for the game as well. It grows the game.
Definitely.
Okay, so let's talk about name, image, and likeness. And you and I have had these conversations, and I can't think who. Oh, I was talking to an attorney, Chris Griffin, the other day about it. He was, I think I mentioned that he was an FSU grad.
Okay. Yeah.
And he's been involved in the NCAA quite a bit, and in litigation, and represented the NCAA as well. And it's going to be very messy in many instances, because now, as you said, there'll be sharks out there. There'll be agents going to the high school level and knowing that this kid is, you know, he's the number one prospect in the country. All the power schools are going to be looking for him. But these guys are going to be thinking about the economic impact. And families are going to be making decisions on economic impact. And I think that is a sad, sad case of what's going to happen to amateur athletics. It almost sickens me. Because they don't really have a plan. And the NCAA blew this whole thing, in my opinion, years and years ago with their greed, and we talked about this. They should have given stipends out initially in some capacity. They should have cut a piece of the pie for them. I don't care what it was, but something fair that a college student, would get wide open and go, hey, that's cool. But they didn't do that. So they exposed themselves to examination of their financials, their greed, and how deep it ran. And that's when the public got upset. That's when the fan base and everyone else got, you know, upset of their greed. And the NCAA should shame on them for getting to this point. But it's going to be horrible to reverse right now, Cameron. What's your opinion?
Well, I think when you're taking a look at just how much salaries have grown in the NFL just throughout the years, it probably just brought things into the big picture a little bit more, right? So, for me, playing at the college level, you know, I enjoyed it. It wasn't about money. It's definitely about love of the game. And you do see that during the transition from the college level to the pro level in regards to recruiting and how things definitely change throughout that time frame. So, knowing that, obviously, money's involved. It'll be interesting to see how things go with high school kids and the decisions they make and what that's going to be based off of. And for me and colleagues, we've been doing a lot of research and development, already looking at, you know, the transition from the earliest stages of playing sports all the way through to retirement. So we've been having those discussions. I'm glad that these discussions are being had, and you've made some points just about the amount of money that was being made at the college level and then what that split looks like, you know, with the players. So I think that this is going to always be a topic, and I over time I'm pretty sure we'll come to some type of consensus, but obviously, the players are starting to realize how much brand power they have with these new platforms and the ability to be able to control that narrative. So I think it kind of does put a little bit more leverage in the players' hands to have these discussions at this time.
Here's where I also see issues, even at the high school level and the college level, in the locker room. Cameron Wembley is an All-American. Notre Dame's after him. Florida State, everybody. I'm Mike Rickard. I'm busting my tail. I'm hoping some NAIA school picks me up, maybe. And I know that you're being showered with gifts and envelopes of cash because it's not illegal now. And coaches might be favoring you. That happens right now anyway. But I think it'll even get bigger and bigger, and there'll be animosity on teams because cash creates greed in human beings. That's just the reality of mankind. And I don't like that. That disgusts me.
Yeah, I look at just the competitive nature of the game. And, you know, over the years, just listening to coaches and how they think parents are responding to having kids who, you know, may be gifted enough to go on and play at the next level. And, you know, hopefully I think it's just going to be one of those things where we can implement some education to go along with the changes. And I think the way that we can reach people now, we've become more efficient at that. I know that there are Little League teams who have, like, group chat messages and things of that nature. So I think if we're, you know, passing material to, you know, the coaches and holding the coaches accountable, then we can hopefully educate the parents, educate the kids. And obviously I think the teacher should know as well. That's a huge part of that student-athlete dynamic. So,
well, he's Cameron Wembley, and you can see that he's a deep, wise thinker and calmly talks about it when I get a little too emotional. But that's the reality. We need leaders like you that can sit back, analyze it, and try to calm everybody down, come up with solutions. And I applaud you for that, because there's going to be a lot of raging kids, families, programs, because the guidelines aren't even established yet. And that's why the way they rolled it out, and as Nick Saban said, my quarterback, who hasn't even taken a snap yet, is probably going to make $1 million just tying it to the coattails of the Alabama program. And, well, God bless him. However, again, that's where there's 70-some other kids that are on that team working their tails off. And old Johnny Johnson, he's the QB. He's making a mill. There will be ego issues.
Yeah, I think when you take a look at even, like, recent moves, I believe, with Texas and Oklahoma.
Let's talk about that as well.
Going to the SEC, I think that, you know, speaks to your point that, you know, obviously where you go definitely can affect how much money you will be able to make. But also look at it in the way that, you know, if you're talented, you're going to be found, like, regardless
without
at this point
without.
Of what school you go to. And so when I take a look at that, yeah, I think it'll be a lot of responsibility now that's added to coaches that they didn't have to necessarily worry about before. Now you're going to have
just another thing they need, right?
Yeah, so coaches are more like, they have to be like CEOs.
Yeah, and that's not why they got into coaching. But that's the reality of the 21st century now.
It is. Analytics, all those things, they come into play even more. So.
And the old school coaches just shake their heads. If they're smart, and of course they're intelligent men, or they wouldn't be where they're at, they surround themselves with talent like you that can do the analysis, logically look at it, and then implement a plan that everybody needs to adhere to. But not everybody's going to – that sounds great on paper. Not everybody's going to adhere to it. And I just see this, the gutting of college athletics as we knew them, and it's just going the direction of the pros, and that's reality. I mean, and television drives this, television contracts. The reason that the Big 12 is going to go the way of the dodo bird, essentially, is because Texas and Oklahoma will pull out. Those are two huge television markets, and they join the SEC, and now the Big 12's got two Kansas schools, Iowa State, Nebraska bolted, West Virginia bolted, Missouri bolted. The Big 12 is a shell of itself, and they're not big. They're not big markets. I mean, I've been to every one of those towns, and Manhattan, Kansas is not for K-State. And you're from Wichita. You know that world.
I've been to a Wildcat game or two.
Oh, so have I.
Yeah, definitely.
Many games. My ex was a big Wild. Her whole family Wildcat nuts. And, you know, Ames, Iowa is not a big market. Uh-huh. So that's just sad that you're going to see these, and you saw them already, but you're going to see these conferences go away. And the USFs are going to be nothing in terms of the national conversation anymore. I mean, they're going to work their tails off, but there'll be chump change relative to the rest of the world.
And I think it's interesting because you'll take a look at, you know, at least for us, I looked on a roster, and for our whole football team, we had one player on the soccer team, on the women's soccer team, who had like a million followers from Venezuela. Right?
Really?
So you take a look at that, and it's like these small schools, they may have the opportunity to get some of those. If they do get one of those players, like, that could mean a lot for their organization to get one player who has
million
that
followers.
Type of following. Yeah, and for what's happening at the professional level, I think it's becoming more of an international game as well anyway, because we're getting more players from different places. We've got, you know, NFL Academy in different locations. So London, we've got, you know, Instagrams that are in all these different places. So it's going to be interesting.
Okay. Now you just...
Because you could get talent from a lot of places that traditionally maybe we weren't looking. So, you know, and we could see more, obviously, with people recording and things like that. So recruiting has been a very interesting landscape as well.
Yeah. And you just opened a can of worms here. And a thought process I didn't think about. So, this little Venezuelan gal is a good, great soccer player.
Yeah.
And my daughter is from Florida. And she's just about as good. But the Venezuelan gal's got a million followers. So, I need to get my kid getting more interactive on social media as well. Worrying about her soccer performance.
And I think that's kind of a natural thing happening with parents. Just having... You know,
my
kids now, they're more tech savvy. They're on those tablets before they probably even speak English or whatever language. So it's like, you know, we're in a different world, and people now aspire to even go and be celebrities on YouTube and TikTok and all.
Come
those
on,
things.
Man, it's called influencers.
Influencers.
I'm learning this terminology.
Yeah, man.
Now, Brandy can tell you, he's got a 4-year-old granddaughter. I got a 3-year-old grandson, and I'm in here at Ferg's the other day before a ball game. There were 4 tables of parents, and they had kids 5 and younger. Every one of them had a freaking phone in front of them or a little tablet, and they're maneuvering around. I'm like, great parenting here. Nice day at the ball game with your kid. I want to go over and grab them both. I'll give them to you when you come back from the Rays game so that you guys will have actually interacted as parents. But the reality is these kids, my grandson FaceTimed me the other day on my portal. He's got a portal. And Mike, I thought, I'm ecstatic. I get to see him, right? And I go, Michael, thanks. He goes, I didn't do that, Pops. He just walked over, remembered what we did. Boom. And there's Papa. This technology thing scares me to death now.
Yeah, man, definitely.
Your girls are probably, and you're a wizard.
Oh, yeah,
they're probably running circles around you.
Nah, definitely. I learn from them. So I've learned so much from them. But it's really awesome to see, and I think that integration of technology has allowed kids from one area now to see kids in other areas. And when we were growing up, we were looking at the local talent. Now these kids are comparing themselves to kids in different states. So just that whole dynamic of, you know, how many stars you're going to get as a recruit, and then you at some point it all ties in. Electronics and video gaming has been big with Madden games and stuff like that. So, but now giving that technology to people, obviously having a cell phone, and then being able to, like you said, the name, image, and likeness, you could come up with flyers for yourself. You could get creative in Photoshop, like all these things. People are filming.
Well, not my mug, for cripe's sake. Hey, let's go back to this soccer player from Venezuela with a million followers. So, she figures out how to monetize that, of course, and now all these kids can, these collegiate kids.
Yeah.
So they can use that university, and they the universities had to sign off on all this. Florida had done it previously, to this taking place in July, but you can they can wear their jersey now, while they're doing their, you know, influencing, and get paid for it.
Wow. Yeah, and
that's reality now.
Jerseys was a big deal.
A big factor.
Yeah, so, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how it all unfolds. But, you know, I think these kids are smart. I think there were a couple of kids out in California at the university level that were former players. One kid was a blind kid, and that became big for him that he was blind and played in a game. And now, because of that disability and because of different things, he had one of his teammates that kind of led him through the whole collegiate process. And now they're, in turn, showing kids, like, hey, here's what we did with this guy.
That's a great story.
Yeah, I believe it was two gentlemen from USC, if I'm not correct there. Yeah, yeah. No mistake.
Now that's a great story.
Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, there's all these unique narratives, and I think that it creates, you know, just these different platforms for athletes to get exposure. So we're grateful to have, you know, the St. Pete Sports Connection. We can bring players by here, get some TikToks going.
Well, I embrace it all. Going. Randy embraces it all. We're on board. We just got to get people that know how to do it, and we'll promote it and figure it out. So that's your job.
Oh, yeah. You bring the youngsters to us. Yeah, man. We'll bring those kids by. And, you know, obviously you were talking about some local talent that was in the Olympics. So that's all of that stuff is awesome. And I think that this is a great place for people to get ongoing education. Like, you've been able to bring by awesome people to interview.
I've been blessed, and basically it's because of Barry Smith and the people that I've met, the Brandy Winans of the world. You know, I always took it for granted being in the Midwest because I knew everybody. I'd been there forever. Mm-hmm. And then you come down here, you're fish out of water. But so I have been definitely blessed, and I believe that that's why we're going to take this project and do positive things. And I know you're on board. I definitely know you're on board, and I think we can have a blast with it. So – Let's wrap up the name, image, and likeness. So, from your perspective, and you think outside the box more than I, you think it's a positive thing. I think the athletes definitely deserved a piece of the pie, mm-hmm. but you think the way they rolled it out is a positive thing?
Well, I think it got the conversation started and got the ball rolling. So I'm happy that there is some change. And I know that there's legislation that was put out, and I think we're all going to be able to just evaluate it as it goes. I know that there are some concerns. I think kids are smarter than we may sometimes give them credit for, you know. So hopefully they can navigate that. And having, you know, that space where you're in an incubator space on a campus, hopefully the people there around you are good people. And the universities obviously want to be able to keep recruiting at a high level, so I'm sure they're going to, you know, take a look. And at Florida State, they've even created a curriculum to educate kids, I believe it's called APEX, about being aware of your brand and how to maximize the opportunity of playing collegiate football.
Well, you take a look at all those topics, and there's so many things that one law changed that are going to have to be monitored, managed, and create cottage industries on the side. I mean, they really are. And
I think it helps,
the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Small businesses now, I mean, you can get a piece of the action. You know, if I'm a small business.
That's what I like to look at it,
yeah.
As an idea guy. But, yeah, mm-hmm. and do something positively and capture that.
Definitely.
Hey, you were you played at the highest level in the NFL, very successful, and at Florida State. One of the things Brandy and I were talking about earlier was, you know, we've seen it come to the forefront during the 32nd Olympiad is mental health, and it's shown its face many times in the conversation. Then it gets pushed aside, but now, you know, on the biggest worldwide stage, Simone Biles and her battles. Did you see a lot of that in the NFL? But they kept it under wraps because, as we said, you're tough guys. We grew up in the era where, you know, and he's a tough guy. You know, he broke down after the game. He was balling, or, you know, he just. And kickers, the mental aspect of those poor guys.
Right, right.
Did you see a lot of that in the NFL?
Well, I think, you know, it's a highly competitive game. And guys did so much when I was playing to take care of themselves and their bodies. And, you know, all the film study and all of the practices. And, like, guys really invested in themselves a lot. I think you're hearing more about mental health and wellness than in the past. And, you know, but guys... You know, I think handle different situations differently, right? So some guys are like, hey, this is my opportunity. I got to be all right. I can't be hurt. You know, a lot of people are dependent on me, and they're really trying to get a spot. And, you know, I think a lot since, you know, concussions were a big deal or have been a big deal, they've been putting in protocol and different things to be able to measure where you're at, your base going into the season, and then obviously referees are watching more. But I think it's because of earlier people who've, you know, had to go through challenges.
Like Randy's world.
Yes, definitely. So, like, she's paved the way and opened the doors for a lot of athletes, but there's still ongoing conversations with players, former players, who are wanting to be able to do more for themselves. And health and wellness, I think, if you're not there mentally and you're not feeling good mentally, then obviously there's going to be a lot. Everything else, you know, will suffer from that. So.
Well, I think, unfortunately, what happens, and we discussed this, it's people behind the mic, it's social media today. If a guy does have a mental breakdown, people don't, you know, they're still people.
Right.
These are human beings. And it gets out on ESPN. Man, Mike Richard broke down after the game, and he might have mental problems. Well, that is an absolute sign of weakness in the past. You know, you're a nut job. I mean, that's just that was the attitudes going back in the day. See, that Rickard, he's a nut job, man. I don't know if we want him on the team. Well, mental illness is a disease that exists worldwide in humanity, but it's always been, you don't want to talk about it. It's behind closed doors.
Right.
So there was conversation when you were there, or do you think now it's going to accelerate to make sure the guys are mentally healthy.
I mean, I think you've had your ambassadors. You've had your Kevin Loves. You've had Brandon Marshall, I believe.
Was Kevin's – did he get panic attacks? Is that what it was?
I'm not sure exactly what it was.
No, I think
it
was.
That he was announcing that he was seeing a mental health
– Yeah, panic attacks.
Definitely.
Playing the NBA guy. Won a championship with LeBron. Panic attacks, you know.
It's a lot, and I can definitely see now why, you know – people, especially with social media, it's like 24/7, you know, you're not disconnecting sometimes with what's going on, and you want to keep your brand valuable as possible. So obviously if there's anything out there that you think can hurt your opportunity to earn, like, you're trying to, you know, put your best foot forward. So
what I've also seen is, it just personally for me and with other players and families I've worked with, is the fact that it's not only the stress of playing on the team, but then you go home and you also have family interference. You also have a lot of stress from the family unit that creates even more stress on you. And I think that's what happens sometimes when you're getting a panic attack. I don't think it wasn't created on the field. I think it was created in a combination of everything on and off the field, which then... if you're not there at that moment, will create some stress. And God knows we all have stress, right? I mean, but we all react to it differently. Yes. But hearing from the family units and the people that I've worked with, it's a combination of all of it that can create it. And then if you have neurocognitive problems, repetitive things to have, if you're on the field in football or any other sport where you're having a neurocognitive situation, it will escalate. But I think you have to consider the whole aspect of everything.
Could you speak in terms that I could understand sometimes?
Well,
I'm asking both of you.
No, definitely as an athlete, man, all those points that she hit on are very important. Like, there's the on the field, and then you have your off the field, and, you know, you're going home and you have families, and, you know, you put so much, you invest so much into the game. So to see people like yourself to go out and really advocate for players and try to help them out, especially in that space, is huge. So, like I said, those conversations are happening. You know, I've been on some NFLPA Zooms. You know, I've had conversations at the NFL Legends community, NFL alumni. I think there's more information out now than there was as well. So I try to
on every topic
be helpful, share links, you know, whatever I can in that space. And, you know, I'm not a doctor, but I've been fortunate enough to be introduced to some very smart people, some doctors and medical professionals at that level. So I'm very fortunate and blessed in that way. And then we try to, with one of our companies, connect people with health and wellness people in their area. So trainers, chiropractors, all the massage therapists, like all of those things. So I think even in the corporate space, they're starting to pay more attention to just how much more, you know, better the environment is if your workers, employees are healthy. So
mentally and physically.
Definitely.
That's Cameron Wembley. I'm with Brandi Winans. You're listening to the St. Pete Sports Connection right here on Sunshine 96.7 FM, RadioSt.Pete.com, and streaming live on StPeteSportsConnection.com. As I mentioned, on Labor Day weekend, we're going to be down live at the pier on the 4th. It's going to be an absolute blast. It's the St. Pete P1 St. Pete, say this three times, P1 St. Pete Grand Prix Superboat Show. And I'll tell you what, races. And it's going to be a lot of adrenaline down there. So I'm looking forward to that, spending 3-4 hours doing live reports on Sunshine 96.7 FM and brought to you by Coppertail. Now, Cameron, I got to ask you, we'll lighten it up a little bit. Tell us a couple stories. Let's talk about your rookie year. You know, you're a high draft pick by the Cleveland Browns, and you go to training camp. Was it a heck of a lot different than being a Seminole going to Florida State training camp? You got there and you're like, this is it, man. I'm in the show.
Well, I was around in college when we were still doing, you know, two-a-days. Like, it was blazing. We got Mickey Andrews, you know, as our defensive coordinator, and you know, you've got the whole team laid out after practice, either in a cold tub or getting an IV in the training room, and we thinking, you know, we're going to get out of our next practice. And no, you literally have to, like, not be breathing to make it out of practice. But I think going to school in Florida at Florida State definitely prepared me for the NFL, but that NFL is a totally different animal. I mean, like, you're staying in a hotel during training camp, and it's just football 24/7. When you wake up, you know, you could be tested early in the morning randomly for a drug test, you know, and then you get up early, you know, you're in meetings all day. Yeah, training camp can be a challenge, but there are some great stories that come out of that, definitely. And I just remember, you know, being there and some days not even leaving during the day, the whole entire day from morning all the way to the night. And you got guys like on blow up air mattresses just laid out all around the locker room. So, nobody has any energy really left except for the kickers. Everybody kind of is like looking at the kickers like, man, you know, I'd rather play that position or long.
Should have made a career choice when I was about 8.
Yeah,
started kicking that little round black and white ball and converted it to pigskin, right? The wimp sport when I was growing up, you play soccer, really. But, okay, so as a rookie come in, you know, and you're a high draft pick, Florida State's one of the strongest programs in the country. Is there that air of the vets pimping you and giving you a bad time when you get into camp?
Well, I think it's tradition that as an athlete, you know there are certain things that, you know, you're expected to do.
Your indoctrination.
Carry the pads off the field, you know.
Seriously?
Definitely, yeah.
You got to carry their pads off the field?
We had some situations where, you know, even rookie year, you have rookie dinner. And you pay for the whole dinner for your whole seg, and the numbers can get astronomical. you know, guys have had, you know, different stuff happen in regards to, like, everything in their locker room just being tossed in the cold tub. Or, you know, we had guys who at that time got strapped to, like, poles taped up.
This is fraternity stuff.
Hey, and then we're all expected to do something in a talent show. So, you know, there's that day where, as a rookie, you're going to have to stand up and entertain all of the vets, the entire team, the coaches. And, you know, it's one of those things that everybody before you has gone through it. So you go through it, and, I mean, you build some relationships off of that with the other rookies, definitely, because you're all splitting that bill, and you're like, man, do our teammates really care about us? Because they just basically took our whole game check, you know, in one evening. So
maybe like going to Burns.
We definitely were like going to Burns, man.
Oh, my God. Hey, what was the Cameron Wembley entertainment display was? Music, dance?
Well, I don't like to be too vocal. And me, I'm a quiet person anyway. Like in the team setting, for the most part, we've got guys who are the rah-rah guys or whatnot.
Gregarious guys.
Yeah, so for me, I was able to, I believe I snuck out of it. I was able to just kind of
quietly disappear.
I can't recall myself doing anything for the talent show, to be honest. Like, I think we had, like, the guys who were on the cusp, like, we didn't know if they were going to be able to make it through the entire, like, training camp without being cut. I think those are the guys we had
push,
go first.
Push to the forefront.
Yeah, man.
You're not going to be around very long anyway, dude. Get up there.
Hey, they need all the extra opportunity to try to impress the team and the coaches. So, like, hey, man, you go ahead.
He's going to provide some humor and levity in the locker room, so maybe we'll keep him around.
No, we had some talented people, though. I definitely remember we had a guy who was a comedian and had everybody laugh, and then we had a receiver, Wright. He came from out of California when I was in Cleveland. He actually rapped. So it was just, you know, different guys, you know, do their thing, and it's interesting to see what other guys are interested in outside of football.
Well, I got a question. You're saying you're kind of a quiet guy behind the scenes. You run on Gladiator. You run Rachel Ray's. Yeah. You won a Super Bowl cooking. I was going to say, he's a Super Cook-off. Bowl champion.
Yeah.
Cook-off. So those things are pretty high visible, like nationwide television.
Well, it's interesting because I hired a PR lady. You know,
she wanted to give you a little more personality out there.
But I hired her to kind of, you know, talk me out of just being like a stay-at-home type of person. You know, so she would offer these different things, and I would decline some of them, and she was like, well, babe, you're paying me. You might want to
take advantage of it.
Yeah, so she, you know, the American Ninja Warrior thing was awesome. I really enjoyed that, and I got other opportunities. I was on the challenge, and, you know, going on there as a guy, you know, who's got some business experience, I decided to, hey, here goes a person who's on the show with me. They have a business idea. We're here together. They pitch it. I invest it with one of the.
Is that like Shark Tank?
No.
A little bit?
The challenge is
I haven't seen it.
Kind of like Survivor, if you will.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's but younger crowd, Viacom show. So I enjoyed that. I was on there with some Olympians. I was on there with another football player. Sean Merriman was on there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that was Lolo was on there.
Lolo Jones, my girl.
So there was
Roosevelt High School, Des Moines, Iowa. Lolo Jones.
Man. Some surfers on there, like, and there's still good connectivity with a wrestler, CM Punk. Like, I mean, there was really,
diversity.
Yeah, it was an awesome group of people. So I enjoyed that show. You know, just to see how reality TV is made and kind of get that experience. Like, it was fun. So, but yeah, no, my publicist is the person who kind of.
I wondered, you said,
you know,
you're a quiet guy.
I have to get a stylist.
You've been on a lot of national stuff to be a quiet guy.
Yeah, well, it's kind of that dynamic that the coaches, even when I played on the teams, they're like, hey, man, we need you to, like, be more vocal. Like,
In the locker room and in the huddle?
Yeah, it was one of those things where, you know, I enjoy writing, I enjoy reading and stuff like that. So. You know,
you're a cerebral jock. There aren't too many of them. We'll just leave it at that. When Notre Dame came a calling, you knew that.
Yeah, I was recruited by Notre Dame. Too.
You told
they,
me
they
that.
Offered.
So
yeah,
I got to ask you.
Cold up there.
it is a bit nippy, but a lot rich in tradition. You played there,
definitely.
Right?
Oh yeah, it's beautiful. Great campus. Like, I enjoyed it. Like, it's a beautiful.
Steeped
campus.
In tradition.
Great tradition. Yeah.
So. Your Seminoles open up against the Fighting Irish this year, you know.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, man. They got, you know, Brady Quinn was my teammate over.
I see him on CBS Sports all the time.
Yeah, man. So it'll be a great test for those guys at Florida State. Obviously, like you said, such a storied history and tradition. So I think the ACC is happy to have a team like Notre Dame be a part of it and give those kids the opportunity, the Florida State kids, to play those guys up north, those some big guys up there, and, you know, they'll be ready to play.
You know, I have at least two Seminoles on a month, thanks to the head Seminole, Barry Smith, and his passion.
Barry.
And so I've started to research a lot of Seminole sports. And, you know, with the great Bobby Bowden in this situation, God bless him, And yes. I know you've met Bobby many times. Programs that are rich in tradition, and you and I have talked about it, and I've talked about it with everybody. Florida State Seminoles will be back, and they will be a force to be reckoned with. Do you think this coach is the one that can get them to that point?
Well, yeah, first and foremost, even with Coach Bobby Bowden, and he's just been in our prayers, and, you know, he's been a father figure to so many of the student athletes that have gone through Florida State, and, you know, he's just been a great guy for the game of football. So, you know, hopefully, you know, everything goes well with his family, and it's good to hear that he's, you know, he's at peace, he's a man of faith. So, yeah, no, that's awesome. And you asked me about Coach Norvell. So
yeah.
Coach Norvell, I think with the school, I was able to evaluate that whole process, and they were very thorough in finding him. And I think, you know, the success that he's had at the previous college at Memphis and the way that the fans talk about him and the type of guy that he is, I think he embodies everything that they were looking for in a coach to come in and play that role. And obviously, you know, it's kind of hard to coach after one of the greatest ever, like Coach Bobby Bowden. So, but, you know, he's a young coach. I think that, you know, his staff seems like they're supporting him 100%. And I know that with the faculty and everybody there with FSU, they feel like they've got the person
the right
that
guy.
They want, definitely. And I had a chance to meet him briefly when he came down here for a camp. So it was a free Florida State camp. And I think with him, I think he cares about the kids. You know, I think he can connect with the kids. He can relate. He was a football player. You know, he's got the picture that circulates with him with the cornrows.
Yeah.
So I think players can relate to him. And I think that, you know, we'll see how it goes in regards to retooling with the talent. I know a lot of really good Florida players have gone to Alabama in years.
You got to keep them home. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, so I think that whole recruiting thing, it probably, because he's, you know, very savvy and connected at that level to be able to connect with the players, I think it's an advantage for him. So they've been able to get some really good players coming in and committing. So once he gets the opportunity to work with his staff and kind of develop
and his guys,
team, yeah, we'll see where it's at.
Well, you and I'll have to have a little. I'm going to have plenty of little side wagers for lunch and my Fighting Irish taking on the Florida State Seminoles. That's Labor Day weekend. I'll be riveted to that game. Wonder if Barry will have me over for a watch party.
Hey, man.
Sadly doubtful. I'll show up with all my Notre Dame gear. They'll never find my body. I'll be out like number 18. He lives on a golf course. I'll be in that sand trap buried about 6 feet below.
You know what? I think fans-wise, I think we're cordial with the Irish, man. It's very interesting because when we went up there, like you're driving on campus in the bus, and the fans are waving. They're the nicest people ever.
We're Catholics.
You go to Clemson,
they're
like they're
fingering
the
you.
Bus off. Yeah. Like they're throwing stuff at the bus. Like, it's wild. They're kicking the bus. So.
See?
But you go to Notre Dame, it's kind of like, man, this is nice.
Hey,
like
hey, we get you all softened up where we'd kick your butt. That's our philosophy.
Yeah, we played up there. We had an issue with the field being wet and slipping.
I wonder how that happened.
And having to switch cleats. But,
yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. You're lucky the temperature didn't drop because I've seen that happen in some fields in the past, too. Little watering, knowing that it's going to freeze up because a team from the south is coming up. And it might be in Lincoln, Nebraska. That may have happened a time or two.
Hey,
all right.
Man, I've been there, too, man. Big Red.
Memorial? Oh, my yeah. God. I'm an anti-Husker growing up across the river. All right. For Cameron Wembley, Brady Winans, Mark Ferguson, Joe Berdow, and the controls, as always, I'm Mike Rickard, thanking you for listening to the St. Pete Sports Connection and wishing you and your families a great weekend. God bless you. God bless America. And be sure to have a championship weekend.